My name is John Erling, and today's date is May 12, 2016. Ted, would you state your full name, your date of birth, and your age?
Ted Owens. My birthday is July 16th of 1929. I'm 86. I'll be 87 in a couple of months.
You didn't give a second name.
Teddy Lynn Owens. You know, when you grow up in Southwest Oklahoma, you have double names. My name was Teddy Lynn. My brother's name is Freddie Jean.
You're right. We're recording this interview here in the facilities of VoicesOfOklahoma.com. Where were you born?
Born in Hollis, Oklahoma, on a cotton farm about 3 miles north of Hollis.
Your mother's name?
Annie.
Tell me about her, her personality. What was she like?
Well, she was Annie Abernathy. She met my dad, Homer Owens, in elementary school. They only graduated from the seventh grade, which back in those days was pretty good education. Even though they didn't have a great academic education, they were much wiser than almost anyone that I've ever known. She was a wonderful, sweet, I called her a saintly lady. She taught a Sunday school class at the Antioch Baptist Church. She was just sweet, caring. She lived her whole life just to serve us three boys and my dad.
Your father, his personality, what was he like?
Well, he was a manly guy. He was a guy that wasn't a hugger and a kisser or anything. He'd give you a firm handshake. And it wasn't until he was in his 80s and we'd go back that we'd hug each other. He was a disciplined man, a very hard worker, and he had incredible faith. He and mother just believed if we do our jobs and work hard that no matter what happens in your lifetime, that things will work out. We lived on that cotton farm back in Southwest Oklahoma during the Dust Bowl days and the Great Depression. Black clouds would come in from Kansas. We'd see those black clouds coming in, and mother would go out to the north side of the house. We called them northers. She would tack plastic on the outside windows to keep the sand out of the house. But in spite of that, the wind was so strong it would come through and raise the linoleum up off of the floor. Many times it would blow our crops out. And Dad didn't whimper, didn't whine. He just said, boys, got to replant the cotton. He just was incredibly resilient. He set a great example for me in life. And if things don't go well, then you just work it out.
Was that the main crop, cotton?
Cotton. We did grow some wheat, but mostly cotton.
Did you learn how to pick cotton?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, in fact, my three brothers and I would pull cotton along with our fellow field workers. We had two wagons. When we'd fill one wagon, Dad would take it to the gin while we filled the other. Then he would come back from the gin with the expectation that we'd have that filled, and he would go back again. So at the end of the day, my dad, like any good coach, would try to motivate us to get another wagon load. He'd get his sack out of the pickup, and he'd say, come on, boys, let's see if you can beat old Dad. We'd be dead tired and a little bit annoyed at hearing this, but our competitive instincts would kick in, and we'd take off and try to beat old Dad. We'd be out ahead of him, and we'd say, look like we got you this time, Dad. And he said, it's not what you have now. It's what you have at the hang-up when you'd hang your sack and weigh it on the wagon at the end. It's what you have at the hang-up that counts. So during the course of my life, I look back at those days, and no matter whether you're successful or whether you're going through discouraging time, just keep your focus on your ultimate goals and purposes. It's what you have at the hang-up that counts, and that's what I wrote the book about.
And that's the title of your book, At the Hang-Up. But the Dust Bowl, you'd go outside and you'd have to wear something over your face?
Yeah, we'd wear bandanas, almost like the old Western bandits would. Otherwise, you'd get dust pneumonia during those times and it'd just choke you. We had no plumbing in the house. We had no heat in our bedrooms. We had an outhouse. We would have water hauled from the town and put in our cistern. We would take baths during the week. My job as the youngest of the boys was to keep the horse trough clean so we could take a bath. In the horse trough, yeah. We had a windmill that pumped chip water, and you couldn't drink it, but you'd take a bath in it.
And that was pretty cold, too.
Yeah, it was very cold. It led to pretty quick baths, as you can imagine. But on Saturday, we would work until noontime. And mother would have our number two wash tub full of water, and she would have it outside heating in the sun. And everyone in the family would take a bath. Dad would take a bath first, mother, brother Quentin, brother Fred, and then I was always the last.
In the same water.
Yeah, and you know the expression of don't throw the baby out. Well, that came from that. It was so gritty by that time, you could get lost in the water.
You didn't have electricity either, did you?
No, no electricity. We had kerosene lamps.
These cold Oklahoma winters had to be pretty miserable at times.
Well, what mother would do, we had a coal stove in the living room, and then we had a kitchen stove, but no heat in the bedroom. The three brothers slept in the same little bedroom. The other bedroom mother and dad slept in. Mother would put bricks on the coal stove, heat the bricks, and then wrap them in towels and put them at the foot of the bed. Back in those days, the ladies made quilts all the time, the old-time quilting parties and so forth. So we had an abundance of quilts. We would just stack quilts very high and then put our feet against the warm bricks, and that's how we stayed warm.
And you didn't know any different.
No. You know, John Steinbeck wrote about those days of the Okies and all of that. We knew he'd written a book. We just didn't know he was writing about us at the time. Because everyone else, all of our neighbors, had the same circumstances we did.
Let's name your two brothers again.
Quentin and Fred. Quentin spent his life in the school. See, he was a school superintendent. And he had a heart attack at the age of 42. Mm. And we lost him. And then brother Fred was 72. He had Alzheimer's. And we lost him. So all of my folks are gone.
And here you look to be remarkable condition. I got to say, nobody would guess you to be 87 years old.
Well, Dad lived to be 90, and Mother lived to be 95. Okay. So I did inherit some pretty good genes.
Right. 1929 in October, the stock market crash, and that's the year you were born. Then we have the Depression ends in 1932. You've already talked about the Dust Bowl. Then you were 6 and 7 years old. Do you remember, because of the Depression, that people would come to ask for help, for handouts?
We lived right along a state road. Our house was 20 yards from the state road. People hitchhiked through the country, you know, looking for jobs, looking for food and so forth. If anybody was hungry, and they'd stop by our house, Mother would always bring food and drink out on the porch, and they'd sit there and have food, and then they'd go on their way.
Mm-hmm.
People knew that to survive, that we had to help one another. Indeed, the biblical talking about loving your neighbors and so forth was very important to us.
Mm-hmm.